Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. This morning we're going to spend some time going back to the basics. We are going to go to the Word and go back to the basics on marriage. And we're going to do this the same way the Lord did it on earth when he was challenged by the Pharisees regarding the nature of marriage. Just as the Pharisees sought to destroy the Lord's definition of marriage over 2,000 years ago, the hells are at work today, trying to do the same thing. The Pharisees came to him, tempting him, we read in Matthew. They asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to send away his wife for every cause?" They were referring to a law in Deuteronomy regarding divorce and trying to use it to make marriage basically meaningless. They were trying to get the Lord to bless what they were doing with marriage in their culture. The Lord responded to their quest for a loophole big enough to destroy the very institution of marriage, saying, "Have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? And on this account shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be into one flesh. Wherefore they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." When we, like the Pharisees, look around us and are tempted to ask the Lord to make marriage conform to what is actually going on in the world, the Lord responds the very same way. This is the Lord's message for us today regarding marriage. This message was not just for the Pharisees who were playing legal games with the Lord. This is a message for all time and for all challenges to marriage. The Lord explains what marriage is in the Gospels because he wants more than anything to join each one of us with a partner in an eternal marriage of one man with one wife. And if we let him, he will lead every one of us to a conjugal union, a marriage which will last forever in heaven. As he explained in the Gospels, he wanted this from the beginning, and he works to make this happen for every human being who will ever be born, if they are willing. So now, we're going to look into exactly what it is that the Lord wants to join together and what we need to do in order to not put it asunder. The Lord teaches us what it is that he wants to join together in the very first chapter of Genesis. We learn early on in the sacred scripture that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then, in the very next chapter of the Word, we learn that therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When Jesus was teaching the Pharisees about marriage in Matthew, he was referring to these passages from the book of Genesis because he was explaining to them the fundamental nature of marriage. His answer went beyond their specific question. The Lord was explaining what marriage is from the very beginning. It is man and woman that the Lord joins together. We can see this through the very first human pair in the Word, Adam and Eve. And in the New Testament, the Lord brings forward this ancient definition of marriage and reminds the Pharisees where it came from. They knew he was quoting from the book of Genesis. But now in the Lord's second coming, he explains to us in detail why it is male and female that are joined together in marriage and why it has been so from the beginning. The Lord teaches us in the work Conjugal Love that since a person lives as a man after death and male, and man is male and female, and the masculine is one and the feminine another, and that they are so different that one cannot be changed into the other, it follows that after death, the male lives as a male, and the female as a female. The Lord underscores this truth, repeating that the masculine cannot be changed into the feminine, nor the feminine into the masculine, and that therefore after death the male is a male, and the female is a female. We learn that this is true even down to every cell of the body. For the Lord teaches further in conjugal love that in the male the masculine is masculine in every part of his body, even the most minute, and also in every idea of his thought, and in every least impulse of his affection. And so is the feminine in the female. And as one cannot therefore be changed into the other, it follows that after death, the male is male, and the female is female. This distinction between the sexes is a prerequisite for conjugal love. It is the complementary differences between male and female which come together to form a more perfect whole to eternity. We all know that men and women are different, and perhaps we have even noticed this difference beginning with early childhood. In conjugal love, the Lord, through Swedenborg, confirms these observations about differences between men and women that we see in children. We read, "How much from very birth the nature of men differs from that of women has been made very manifest to me by the sight of boys and girls in their gatherings. Several times from my window I have observed them. In an open place in a great city, where more than 20 came together every day. The boys, according to their innate disposition, played together by making a great noise, shouting, fighting, beating, and throwing stones at each other, while the girls sat quietly at the doors of the houses, some playing with infants, some dressing their dolls, some piecing together bits of linen, and some kissing each other. And what astonished me, they yet looked with pleased eyes upon the boys who were so boisterous." These early signs of differences between male and female mature with a woman to the point where she perceives especially from love, and with man to a point where he perceives especially from his intellect or understanding. The complete union of these two distinct strengths is possible only in a marriage. We are taught in conjugal love that this union works like the heat and light of the sun. We read, "For understanding is of light, and love is of heat. And things that are of light are plainly seen, and things of love are felt. From these considerations, it is manifest that on account of the universal difference that exists between the masculine and the feminine, the wisdom of the wife cannot be with the man, nor the wisdom of the man with the wife. We are further taught that because they receive the special warmth of love, women are vessels of conjugal love from the Lord, and it is only through women that men have any inclination to marriage. Society, in fact, depends upon this civilizing feminine function." After Swedenborg observed the children from his window that we read about a moment ago, he was then, through the Lord's Holy Spirit, able to see, it says, what a man's intellect in its development would be like without conjunction with feminine love, and eventually conjugal love. When feminine love is absent from a man's upbringing and socialization, he is not pleasant to be around. Think of those boys throwing the stones. This gift to the human race through women is the parent love of all loves, and the inspiration for every use. On the other hand, the Lord brings something special to the world through masculinity too. Through the light of heaven that a man especially receives, a woman can perceive with love beyond what she directly feels. The masculine influence in the world seems to allow love to reach even further by shining light into darkness, by lighting the path for love to follow. It is these complementary differences in men and women that make the special love in marriage possible. It is these complementary differences that unite masculine and feminine souls, masculine and feminine minds, and masculine and feminine bodies. This union of soul, mind, and body continues to eternity in a cycle whereby a husband becomes more and more a husband, and a wife more and more a wife. But these beautiful teachings are being attacked today, as they were over 2,000 years ago when Pharisees tempted the Lord, as it says in Matthew. As a result, there is great confusion, and for some, tremendous pain associated with these truths. But these truths have not changed. That is why the Lord referred to Genesis and explained that what he was teaching about marriage was true from the beginning, true from the very first moment of the creation of the human race. And because the Lord delivered the clear message that he did then, when we read the word today, we can still hear the Lord's timeless response to the Pharisees. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. What the Lord joins together eternally in marriage is one man and one woman. This is a promise from the Lord. He promises that if we follow his lead while we are here on earth, even if the destination of an eternal marriage seems painfully unattainable, that pain will only be temporary. If we keep eternity in view, he will bless us with this love that contains all joys and delights from the first to the last, as he teaches us in the book Conjugal Love. Because the Lord created us male and female, he promises us that we can each find a person to whom we will be married forever. That person whom we will cleave to, that person who we will want to be close to eternity. To this end, the Lord teaches in Conjugal Love, in the case of people who after preparation are introduced into heaven, marriage is provided with a partner whose soul inclines to union with the soul of the other, to the point that they do not wish to lead two lives, but one. The Lord will provide an eternal partner in marriage for each one of us. He is working in his divine providence every single moment to help each one of us live a life that leads to heaven, so we can be married there to eternity. In Conjugal Love, we read, "The divine providence of the Lord concerning marriages and in marriages is most particular and most universal, because all the delights of heaven stream forth from the delights of conjugal love, as sweet waters from the flow of a fountain. And therefore, it is provided that conjugal pairs be born, and that they continually be educated for their marriage under the auspices of the Lord, the boy and the girl not knowing it." This is the Lord's promise to each one of us, whether we think we have found our conjugal partner or not. And this is the promise of the new church to the world. In Conjugal Love, the Lord teaches us that following his advent, the Lord will revive conjugal love, such as it was among the ancients. For conjugal love comes only from the Lord, and it is found in people who are made spiritual by him through the word. Right now, anyone can start preparing for an eternal marriage. Right now, anyone can begin to receive the Lord's promise of conjugal love by working on being made spiritual by the Lord through his word. Being made spiritual by the Lord through his word simply means living the truth of the Lord's word. It means repenting of the evils we commit, and it means living a life of charity. Then, we will be made spiritual by the Lord through the word, and we will be on a path to a conjugal future. This is what the Lord wants for us more than anything else: a marriage in heaven to eternity, a marriage where we all experience innocence, peace, tranquility, inmost friendship, complete trust, a mutual desire of the mind and the heart to do the other every good. Also, as a result of these, bliss, felicity, delight, pleasure, and owing to an eternal enjoyment of states like this, the happiness of heaven. When the Pharisees come tempting, say the Lord's words to them, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Amen. And now to the one and only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever. Amen.